you believe that there is no one like God, come on, lift those hands and just worship the Lord. I said, if you believe that there is no one like God. I worship the Lord and bless His name. Lord, we just thank you for another day. Thank you for brand new mercies. Thank you for the gift of life, for the opportunity to worship one more time. We declare there's nobody like you, Lord. Searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. Nobody like you, Lord. Looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. You're awesome, God. You're our protector. You're our provider. You're our way maker. You're our keeper. You're our healer. You are our deliverer. Lord, there's nobody like you. We declare your glory in this place. Lord, anoint us afresh. Pour into us that we might pour out to your people. Give us ears to hear and hearts and minds to understand and receive. Give us the volition to do your will. That we might not just be hearers of your word, but doers. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. For what you're doing right now. For what you're going to do. We call it done in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Somebody say hallelujah in the house. Come on, put your hands together. Give God the best hand clap and praise you have. Come on, give God the best hand clap you have. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. 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 There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his words. Sounds like music. Yes, in my ear. Do I have a witness? Whoa, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, hallelujah. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? It's all because he first loved. He first loved me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something. Hallelujah. Something happened, and right now I know, oh, he touched me, hallelujah, and made me, somebody lift those hands and say, yes, all over the building, yes. God praise tonight. To the Reverend Tamaris Moore, who led us tonight. To the only bishop. There's a whole lot of folk with the title. But this is one that I know walks the walk and lives the life. Bishop Jerome Wilcox, come on. Your neighbor from right up the street. And to the pastor and first lady of this church, Pastor Darrell and Lady Melanie Armstrong. Let's give God praise for them. And to this music department that messed me up when I walked in the building. I was downstairs and y'all was singing, "Ooh, building door." I was downstairs saying, "I need to get upstairs. Jesus will, because I know he will." Do I have a witness in the house? Jesus will. I said, "I got to get upstairs, because I need that." And I was blessed by just your ministry tonight. Blessed by your ministry in a great, great way. Amen. I'm glad I couldn't bring my choir tonight. I needed to hear you all. And I just want to acknowledge and compliment this cadre of musicians here. All gifted in their own right. Blessed it was just to hear music accompany voices and not compete with voices. Amen. I'm a critiquer of music, and when I can understand the words that the choir is singing and hear the soloist or the vocalist, and they're not trying to overpower the music because the music is overpowering them, it's a blessing. To have a blended symphony like that, where instrumentation and vocals come together to make one sound. And it was awesome, and it's beautiful, and everybody ought to be complimented. You ought to celebrate what you have, Shiloh. Amen. You ought to celebrate what you have. Amen. I'm so grateful to have chairman of our Deacon's Ministry, Deacon Paul Thomas, who came down with me tonight. Amen. I want to congratulate Pastor Darrell Armstrong on 16 years. 16 years of pastoral ministry. What a blessing it is. And I must love you, brother. I must love you to come to Trenton on a Wednesday night by myself with just our chair with us. And actually, when the young brother did the mime ministry, you could have took the offering after that, because that was a message all by itself and extraordinary. And our dear sister who just wiped us up with the saxophone. Yeah. Just blessed us, blessed us. This has been a rich service, a rich experience already. And I just pray that the Lord will bless me. I'm grateful, and the reason why I say I must love you is because God is unique in that he allowed me to come on this day as you celebrate your 16th anniversary. And today marks my 23rd anniversary at Community Baptist Church of Inglewood. Amen. Amen. So I've been just walking through the day thanking the Lord for being good to me. A few words I want to read to you from Philippians chapter number 4. The New Living Translation reads like this, verse 10. Philippians 4, 10 and following. You'll find these words, Philippians 4, 10 and following. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulties. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, there you go. You sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's the reading of God's word. Amen. I just want to talk about a testimony of joy. Can you say that? A testimony of joy. A testimony of joy. I love pastoral celebrations. I love sharing with pastors in their anniversary celebrations because I think celebrations is a wonderful time to experience the joy of the Lord. And then to come here, just to acknowledge 16 years of ministry here at the Shiloh Church is a blessing. It's a time of reflection. It's a time where we look back and see where the Lord has brought us all from. 16 years ago, I dare say, Shiloh, that you were not in the same place today as you were 16 years ago. I dare say that lives have changed and the Lord has done some great and awesome things since Pastor Armstrong has been in your midst. I dare say that the church has experienced some growth in many levels, not just numerical growth, but developmental growth, that you've grown spiritually, that you have learned some things about God's word and you have learned how to apply God's word to deeper areas of your life. You have grown. You're not the same church as you were 16 years ago. I also dare say that Pastor Armstrong has grown. His family has grown. They've been stretched. They've been tried. They've been proven. They've been sifted. They've had to go through some processes. They had to have some ups and some downs in your midst. And God has used you to help them reach various potentials. They too have grown. You look back and see where the Lord has brought you from, and the old folks used to say he brought us from a mighty long way. And I dare say not only did he bring us from a mighty long way, but he brought us all the way. He's always been there, and he's here right now. It's a chance of reflection. It's a chance to look back, but it's also a chance to to look at where you are right now and thank the Lord for where you are today. I put a post up on my Facebook page this morning. I just simply said, thank the Lord for 23 years. The Lord has been faithful. There's nothing I could have imagined, and many of us are in places where we could have never imagined God would take us. And that's because God is simply good. And God's plans are always greater than our plans. In fact, when Paul opens up his letter to the book of Philippians, he says in that first chapter, in that sixth verse, he says, I'm very confident that the one who begun a good work in you, he will see it to completion. Another translation said he will perform it. And so God is faithful not to just start a work and leave it, but to see it to its completion. And there's joy. There ought to be. And I loved it. When I pulled up and saw the cars, I thought my folk were here. I said, Shiloh just has a way of just coming out on a Wednesday night to celebrate their pastor and to celebrate what the Lord has done among you. Your theme says, a man and a people after God's own heart. I love this particular passage because when Paul writes the book of Philippians, the theme of this book is joy. It is joy, and it's one of my favorite books because I want to be a person of joy. But what's interesting about this book is that it is written from a prison cell, for this is one of the prison epistles. And so when he talks about joy, he's not writing from the comforts of his home, over his own living room at home or dining room table. He's writing from a prison cell. And yet he still tells people there that they can have joy. No, it's one thing to have joy when things are going well with you, but it's another thing to have a level of joy when you're in an adverse situation. Come on, joy with money in your pockets is just happy that you got paid. But real joy is when you don't have two nickels to rub together and you got a sense that everything is still going to be all right. Joy is that inner delight that you have. Joy is what comes as a result of the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then there's joy. And I just happen to believe that the fruit of the Spirit is a natural byproduct of the gift or the filling of the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, it ought to birth some fruit in you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And when you find a church with no joy, I tell you, a church that has no Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there ought to be some liberty and some joy. And every believer needs a little bit of joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do I have a witness in that? And so when Paul writes, he says that the theme is joy. And guess what? He says in chapter 1, he says, I am joyful. And I'm joyful even though I'm in this adverse situation. And the truth is, I may not get out, but that's okay. I may lose my life for the preaching of the gospel. I'm good with that. In fact, he said, I want you all to know that everything that has happened to me has resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. And so I just want to suggest tonight that in this particular celebration, that the testimony of joy is simply this. Number one, you have a pastor that has been faithful. Come on, you ought to clap your hands for that. You have a pastor that has been faithful. And this is what Paul is talking about, and I'm just going to preach my way through the text. He says, listen, he said, I just want you to know that what's happened to me has resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. He said, I'm here because I've been preaching faithful at preaching the gospel. Some people didn't like it. You know that as a result of his preaching the gospel, he and Paul and Silas ended up in prison because they cast out a demon from a girl in Macedonia who had the gift of telling the future. Amen. She was demonically possessed, and she followed them around as they preached. And every time they were preaching, she would jump up and say, these are men of the Most High God who show thee unto the way of salvation. And what she said was right, but the spirit in her was wrong. And she kept interrupting the sermon. And finally, he was vexed in his spirit, Paul was, and he called that demon out of her, and she lost her ability to read people's. And her owners lost money because she could no longer do her business. And you know they ended up in prison in Philippi. And here he is again suggesting that I may not get out and they may execute me, but that's all right. Since I've been in prison, some of my brothers have waxed encouraged. They've become more bold in preaching the gospel. And they're preaching, hoping to continue spreading the word. He said, now there's some haters too. And they're hoping to add to my affliction by also preaching the gospel. And then he says, it doesn't matter to me their motive for preaching, as long as they stay with the message of preaching. For they continue to preach the gospel. He said, I rejoice that the gospel is being preached. And I just want you to know, Shiloh, you can rejoice because you have a minister that's been faithful. Some of you may not understand how important it is to have a pastor that's faithful. A pastor who's faithful to his calling and faithful to his family and faithful to his church. Amen. A pastor that's not a fly by night, not a jackleg, not somebody that's trying to fleece the church and run around and lay with everybody they can lay with, but somebody that walks in integrity and somebody that holds up the bloodstained banner. Y'all did invite me to preach, didn't you? Pastor that doesn't do backroom deals, but that has a heart for the people, who's not only a preacher, but a shepherd. A shepherd is one who cares. Amen. There are some who just went, but there are others that God sent. And the ones that God sent understands that they have to give an account to the great shepherd one day. So they don't lord over the flock, but they treat the flock tenderly, and they care for the flock, and they feed the flock with wisdom and understanding. That's what God said, I'll give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. A shepherd who understands the mentality of sheep, and who understands that you don't drive sheep, but you lead sheep. Are y'all with me here? You have a pastor who has been faithful. He loves Shiloh. Wherever he goes, he represents Shiloh. I don't care if he's at community. He acts like Shiloh is the biggest thing that ever happened on the East Coast. Don't care where he goes, he represents Shiloh. He's faithful to Shiloh. I wish I had some help in here. He's your biggest cheerleader. Wherever he goes, he lifts up the banner of Shiloh. Amen. Shiloh, that's our church. If anybody can, he can. She deals with Shiloh. He's your number one fan. He's faithful. Walks in integrity. Loves his family. Loves the Lord. You know, it's good to have a preacher who loves the Lord. Good to have a pastor who loves the Lord. Amen. Not just a pastor who shows up to collect a paycheck, but a pastor who's called, who's anointed and appointed. Amen. Who's been sent. Amen. Who's been set aside and sanctified and consecrated and ordained to walk in this office. You have to be blessed because you have a pastor that's been faithful. That's the reason why there's joy. But the second reason why there's joy, and it's more so found in the text I read, it's because pastor has been blessed with a people who've been faithful. I'll say it again. He's been blessed with a people who've been faithful. Oh, I've dealt with churches and people who could care less about the pastor or the ministry. They love their church, but they could care less about the pastor or the ministry. They love their church, but they could care less about the pastor or the ministry. I know it doesn't make sense. How can you love your church and don't care anything about the ministry? You see, there's a difference between church and ministry. Some people are in love with the institution, but they don't support the life of the church, which is ministry. And they don't respect the head of the church, which is their pastor. Oh, I know we Baptists, and we've been Baptists a long time, and in the Baptist church, we are autonomous and the congregation rules, but the scripture teaches us that God gives us pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the body, for the work of the ministry. And no deacon, no trustee, no president is called to lead the church. I'm in the Bible. Amen. God gives us pastors and teachers, and not every teacher is a pastor, but every pastor ought to be a teacher. To pour into the people and to bless the people. But there are some people in our congregations, in our pews, who have no respect for the voice of the shepherd, no respect for the office of the pastor. Amen. No reverence for the man or woman of God that God places in their midst, because they don't realize that they are appointed to watch out over their souls. And this very word may save you and your household. Oh, I wish I had some help here. And so they pastor themselves to fight the preacher. And everything that he brings up in terms of vision, in terms of flow, in terms of future, they fight against it. And there's always a fight. There's always another meeting after the meeting, and a meeting before the meeting. And there's always this undercurrent going on, because you got some folk who think it's their church. Amen. And they will die for their church, and don't realize Jesus has already died for the church. And Jesus said, upon this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Amen. God is not concerned about Shiloh Institution, Shiloh Incorporated. He's concerned about the people, the souls of Shiloh. And for 16 years, God has blessed you with a people that's been faithful. I ain't say everybody's been on board. But it blessed you with a people that's been faithful. A people that loves you. A people that will come alongside and hold up your arms. Because they understand something. As long as Moses' arms are up, we win. You see, when you're blessed with a congregation that supports you, that means you are leading. See, if you're leading and nobody's following, you're taking a walk. A whole lot of preachers are out here taking a walk, because there ain't nobody following them. But you've got some folk following you, which means God has established your leadership. Can I preach like I feel like it? For 40 years, Pastor Moses led the children of Israel in the wilderness. And he raised up a new generation that were not born in Egypt. And while a new generation was emerging, an old generation died out. And so here it was, 80 years worth of membership that knew only one man, Pastor Moses. Even the little kids knew about Pastor Moses. But Pastor Moses let the people get to him. And when the people got to him, he disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, God said, I can't let you go into the promised land, but I'll let you look at the promised land. And when they got to the banks of Jordan, God took Moses up on Mount Pisgah and allowed him to look over and see the promised land. And then the scripture says, at the age of 120, Moses died. But when he died, he didn't die of old age, because the scripture says he was just as strong and his vision was just as clear at 120 as it was earlier. So he didn't die because he was old. He died because it was time. He died because it was time for the new generation to go over and possess the land. And he could not go with them, so God took him out. And the Lord not only caused him to die, but the Lord buried him himself, so that the children of Israel would not turn back and build a memorial on his grave and keep running back to a land that they weren't supposed to be in the first place. So when Pastor Moses died, God brought Joshua forth. And he said, come here, Joshua. I want you to take this people over and possess the land. And in chapter number 3, the Lord says to Joshua, he said, this day I will establish you before this people, because I want them to understand something, that as I was with Moses, so am I with you. Over these years, you followed a giant. You followed somebody that was almost irreplaceable. Nobody could come behind this pastor who stood in this pulpit for so many years. Nobody could dare approach this sacred desk and speak with the same authority as the former pastor of this church. He was a mover and a shaker. Come on, he impacted legislation. He impacted government. He impacted society. He impacted the spiritual realm. And I'm sure that when he went off the scene, people thought that nobody would be able to take Shiloh anywhere. But I'm here to tell you that God said, I will establish you before your people. Because they've got to realize they might have a different leader, but they've got the same God. Do I have a witness in the house? I don't care where you are, where y'all come from, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina. You're always testifying about how the Lord blessed you way over yonder. And now you're in Trenton or somewhere around here. You might have a new house, might have a new address, might have a new church, but how many of you know you got the same God? Oh, come on and clap those hands and thank him for the same God. And if you've got the same God, then you've got the same potential under this pastor as you had under the other pastor. In fact, because you've got the same God, you ought to reach higher, because the God we serve is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. Somebody clap your hands and give God glory. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I've learned a long time ago, don't build any thrones for men to sit on. Because if you want to make God angry, give another man that he made the glory that he deserves. The creature cannot celebrate the creature. The blessee cannot focus on the blessing and ignore the blesser. When you start focusing on the blessee and the blessing and start leaving out the blesser gets jealous, and the blesser will remove the blessings because he wants the blessee to remember where the blessings come from. There are a whole lot of people in our churches act like the church blessed them, act like the building blessed them, act like people blessed you. You're more concerned about your neighbors. You're more concerned about your positions. You're more concerned about your titles than you are focusing on the Lord. When you know as well as I know, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? Oh, somebody say something in here. I know we're educated and we're sophisticated and we got our own positions in society, but all God got to do is wave his hand and your position could be gone overnight. All God got to do is inhale and cause you to exhale and never take another breath, and somebody will be in your office tomorrow. I wish I had a witness. It was the hand of the, how many of y'all know it was the hand of the Lord that brought you over? It was the hand of the Lord that brought you through. It was the hand of the Lord that picked you up. It was the hand of the Lord that made a way for you when your enemies came against you because they didn't want you black folks working in certain areas to eat up your flesh. They stumbled and they fell because your God put a hedge about you. He brought you all the way from the south up here to the mid part of New Jersey just so that you will know it's the same God. Gave you a people that's been faithful. That's what Paul said. He said, I gotta thank you, because when I had need, you were the only ones who cared for me. Amen. He said, not that I speak in terms of want. He said, but I've learned how to live on both ends of the spectrum. He said, I know the secret of life, and that is I've learned how to be content with whatever state I find myself. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God has blessed me to be in Bergen County for 23 years. But I come from Cumberland County. And if you know anything about Cumberland County is nothing down there. It's one of the poorest counties in the state of New Jersey. Amen. I grew up going to the bean field and picking blueberries and picking tomatoes and cutting onions. My parents were migrant workers. My mother cleaned houses and my father had a third grade education. And my mother had an eighth grade education. And I was the first one in my family to graduate from college. And my mother just prayed that she would live long enough to see me graduate from college. To her, that was a big accomplishment. Graduating from college. She didn't have money to send me off to college. In fact, when I left home, she just stood me up in the middle of the living room and had everybody join hands. And she prayed for me. She said, son, I don't have any money to give you, but I'm going to pray for you that the Lord will make a way. And she stood there with tears streaming down her face. And she said, Lord, I just thank you because you've always been a provider. You've always made a way. Talk to me, somebody. You've always helped me when I didn't have any help. In fact, I didn't have HMO, didn't have Obamacare, didn't have nobody who cared. And so many times when I got sick, my mother rubbed me down with some salve that she made. Y'all not hearing me. Some stuff that she made. And rubbed me all down and put asafoetide all around me. And then put Vicks Vapor Rub under my chin and under my nose. And then stuck her finger in that little green bottle. And if you read the back of the label, it says, do not swallow. And she looked at me and said, open your mouth. And I opened my mouth and she put her finger in my mouth. And she said, now swallow it. And I swallowed that Vicks Vapor Rub. And she got some onions and white potatoes and put them under the balls of my feet and under my armpits when I had fever. And then she anointed me with some Crisco oil. And she prayed. She said, Jesus, buke the fever. Lord, buke the fever. Now, I looked up Webster's Dictionary, and I found out that the word is rebuke. But I'm so glad God understands Ebonics. Because when the morning came, God had buked the fever. I wish I had a witness. And she prayed me off to college. And she said, I don't have any money to send him away with, but use a good God. She said, you brought me from a mighty long way, and I'm putting my child in your hands. And I want y'all to know, Shiloh from Cumberland County, I went to college, and I didn't know I was going to a private school. I just chose the school I wanted to go to. But I'm going to tell you something. God made a way for me. He allowed me to go to college and to graduate from college, and not only to take a few loans, but to pay them off already. I wish I had some help in the house. Because the God I serve is able to supply all of my needs. Do I have a witness in the house? But between then and where I am right now, I learned that whatever state I find myself, therewith to be content. I know how to shop from Goodwill, and I know how to go to the secondhand store. When I got my first apartment, I went to all the secondhand places, and come on, and all the leftover furniture, and I bought the furniture that had chips here and scratches there because I couldn't afford nothing. But that's all right. I had a room full of furniture and a roof over my head, and maybe I didn't have filet mignon, and maybe I didn't have salmon. I didn't even know what salmon was in those days. But there are days when I had pork and beans and hot dogs, and God still made a way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Get two pieces of bread and get some alligator syrup and pour it on the plate and just sop the syrup. And that was my meal. And I'm so glad now I can eat anywhere I want to eat. But I remember where he brought me from. And I come by to tell you that you're here to celebrate because you've got a faithful pastor. You're here to celebrate because you've been a faithful church. But lastly, we're here to celebrate because we've got a faithful God. Is there anybody in this church that can testify? God's been faithful. Every time I turn around, he's blessing me. Talk to me, somebody. He woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He put food on my table. Last night when I was sleeping, he put angels all around my house. And all night and all day long, angels kept watching over me. No fire broke out and no thief broke in. I tell you, he's been a good God. He's been mighty faithful. When I wasn't faithful, God was faithful. I found out church that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Do I have a witness? And since God's been so good, Paul said, the same way you take care of me, I wanted you to know that God will take care of you. I come by to tell somebody, you may have a few haters in the church. You may have some rebellious people in the church. But if you do, be careful who you side with. Don't be guilty of putting your hand against the man of God. Because when you fight God's man, you're fighting against God. And God says, touch not my anointed. Do my servant no harm. And here is the promise he made to his believers. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, you will condemn. Do I have a witness? All I got to tell you, if you ain't on board with the man of God, it's better to back up and shut up and just leave the church alone. Because if you keep messing with God's business, God's gonna deal with you. I don't know who I'm talking to, and I really don't care. Because if you're not against God, if you're not against Satan, then you are against God. And if you're fighting God's program, you're fighting against God. And every church got somebody that wish you were not there. It's been 23 years, and I've got some Negroes that wish I was not there. But the reason why I preach like I preach is because they didn't bring me there. They didn't save me. They didn't call me. They didn't anoint me. They can't bless me. They can't curse me. What God has for me is for me. Do I have a witness in the house? Is there anybody in this church that can testify? He's the same God. He's the same God. And he's able. I said he's still able. He's faithful in the morning. He's faithful in the noonday. He's faithful in the evening. Yes, he is. He's been everything I need. He's been my water when I was thirsty. He's been my friend when I was lonely. He's been my joy in my sorrow. He's been my hope for tomorrow. Do I have a witness in the house? And when my life was broken in pieces, help me somebody. And when I was messed up and tore up from the floor up, he didn't throw me away, but he got his broom and his dustpan, and he swept me up in the dustpan and took me down to the potter's house and threw me in my brokenness on the wheel, and he started working on me again, and he put me back together again. Is there anybody glad that God is a God of another chance? He'll put you back together and give you one more chance. That's why I praise him. Should have been dead by now. Should have been crazy tonight. But his hand has been on my life, and I've got to praise him. I didn't come to Trenton to have church and just to look at y'all, but I came to give him glory. The road is too long to be cute. Traffic is too heavy to look at y'all. But since the Lord brought me all the way down the New Jersey Turnpike, touch somebody and tell them it's time to praise the Lord. You ought to help me lift him up. If God ever done anything for you, you ought to help me praise him. If you got two hands, you ought to clap them sometime. If you got a mouth, you ought to open it and shout hallelujah. If you got two feet, you ought to be willing to dance. Because the last time I checked, hey, he was worthy.